Our curious evening. So, Anna, can you please read the script for this evening's meeting?
Absolutely. So welcome. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. City staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. Public members, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Anna. At this time, could you be a, read a roll call of commissioners, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Commissioner Claude Gilmore.
Present.
Gilmore, present. Commissioner Dwayne Gray.
Present.
Gray, present. Commissioner Greg Reed.
Present.
Reed, present. Commissioner Madeline O'Connor.
Present.
O'Connor, present. Commissioner Mary Strickland.
Present.
Strickland, present. Alder Isidore Knox. Knox, not present. Alder Tag Evers.
Present.
Evers present. Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. At this time, I'd like to have a motion and a second for the approval of the minutes from our November 18th meeting.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second, Harry.
We moved in second that the minutes from our November 18th meeting be approved. We'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. Hearing none, motion approved. Are there any public comment at this time?
Yes, we have one person registered in support of agenda item number three, Matt Frater. He is in support of agenda item number three, which is appointing Lynette Rhodes as the deputy director of the Community Development Authority. But Matt is not registered to speak.
Okay, thank you. Are there any communications at this time, Matt?
No communications.
So at this time, for our December meeting, are we scheduled to continue to meet virtual, or we're not doing anything on site?
I don't know yet. I'll be honest, with Larry leaving, I've been a little distracted.
I imagine you have been. I'm just wondering about if anything that we may be able to visually see regarding the parking structure and anything updated on that.
I'm doing a construction site visit in the next week, so I will check and get back to you. For our planning meeting, I'll let you know.
Okay, that'll be good. Appreciate that. So we have any disclosures or recusals this evening? Hearing none, we have two discussion items. One is a resolution number 4636, appointment of Lynette Rose to deputy director.
Yep. So with Larry gone, Lynette Rhodes, who runs a office in our community development division here in the department, has offered to serve as an interim role, sort of running the day-to-day at the CDA. And so this resolution would give her the powers of deputy director. So basically, if I'm not available to sign things, do things, she would have the power to go ahead and do those things in my absence. Lynette, do you want to turn your camera and say hi?
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Thanks for agreeing to wish to serve. Any questions from the commissioners? If not, I would like a motion and a second for approval.
I guess I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Lynette still going to be running CDBG program?
So she'll still be working on those. Some of those responsibilities get passed to other staff. But yeah, so Lynette's office is involved with a lot of our projects already as the main funder of a lot of things that we do. Also involved with a lot of the specialty voucher programs. So she's already in a lot of the meetings that when we cover work.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion and a second for approval?
I move approve.
Second.
Is there a second? Is it moved and second that the resolution 4636 be approved? And we'll consider this to be a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. And none, motion approved. We have one other resolution, 4635, for discussion and vote.
All right, so I'm gonna share my screen to walk through the basics of what we're proposing here. All right, so what's in front of us tonight is a proposal for the CDA to participate in the funding of the project being put forward by Mandel Group to build affordable housing at University Research Park on the west side. So this is located at the intersection of Whitney Way and Mineral Point Road. It's across the street from a new bus rapid transit station. It's a prime target by the city for affordable housing because it's on transit. It's surrounded by lots of job opportunities, close to grocery stores, all the amenities we would normally look for. So this is a site that the city believes would be great for affordable housing. And get my screen, there we go. So like I mentioned, it's being developed by Mandel Group. They were selected in a competitive request for proposal put out by the Research Park because they were looking for a housing mixed-use development to come to the site. So they were selected years ago. They've worked with the city. They got all of their entitlements, all their approvals to build the proposed apartment building. It's 197 units, most of them being affordable. They are planning to use the federal 4% tax credit to fund the project. So they have a variety of unit sizes. They've agreed to make some of the units available for people coming through the coordinated entry list. So people who are, you know, attached to have services attached to them. And then the nature of the deal is that Research Park would maintain ownership of the land, but instead of selling it, they would use a 49-year lease that could be extended another 49 years if so choosing. So that's just the way that they've structured the land. It's the broad strokes of what this is. So it is a fairly typical affordable housing development for a 4% deal. The unit mix, they have a fairly good number of units serving 30 and 40% of area median income. The bulk of the units fall into the 50 and 60% of area median income. And then some of them are 80% of area median income, which we don't necessarily see a lot of. But if you look at the workforce that's in this area, this is, I think, a really good mix, and they've negotiated some of this with the city to land on it. And like I said, they have studios, ones, twos, and three-bedroom units here at the property. So why this is in front of us tonight is that the project came in for funding through the city's Affordable Housing Fund competitive request for proposals. So that goes out every summer. The city, it wants developers to come in, say that they what their financial gap is, and then the city awards funds to those projects to fill the financial gap so they can move forward. This is how we've created the thousands of units of affordable housing over the last 10 years. And this project came in with a $5 million and change gap. So that's because it's such a big project at almost 200 units. That's not a surprising financial gap. Because it sits within a TIF district, we knew that of that $5 million and change, roughly $900,000 of that could be filled with TIF following our normal TIF process. But that left four plus million dollars of financial gap. 2024 was a year where we just had a huge number of projects come in and apply for funding through that competitive RFP. And the $4 million plus dollars, it was just, it was too much. Like, we were oversubscribed. So we were tasked by the city's finance committee to try to find alternative ways to finance this project, because everyone liked the project, but its financial gap was very significant. So what we looked at was a way that we could still get it to move forward, try to get long-term affordability locked in, and still stay within the guidance of our current TIF policy. And so what is being proposed is that there would be the normal city TIF loan of $930,000. TIF would come through the CDA to pay for that land lease of $2.4 million. TIF would be given to the CDA, so the CDA could acquire an option to buy the building in the future. So that at year 15, the CDA would have the right to buy it at using a predetermined formula to land at a price. And then about $1.4 million would go in as prepayment. So all of this money is the sources TIF through the city, but most of it would flow through the CDA to get there at closing. So it's a little bit complicated, but it's not that different from things the CDA has done in the past. So when we would issue housing bonds in the 80s and 90s, oftentimes you would get an option to purchase as part of the bond deal. So we've really just kind of locked that in to this structure. And we've used TIF to pay for affordable housing before. We've given TIF to the CDA to do projects like the Triangle, like Park Badger. So it's just combining a bunch of those ideas into one transaction. And this has come together very quickly because the guidance to do this from Finance Committee came last Monday. So that's why you're seeing this on relatively short notice, is that we really kind of got the blessing from City Finance Committee only about a week ago to move ahead on this. And tonight, a resolution is being introduced at council to make the money available should the CDA decide that it wants to participate. So what would happen? Oh, Claude, Greg has his hand raised.
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
No, keep going. No. So Matt, one quick question. Given the pace at which this has unfolded, and knowing that just even in regular circumstances, anything with three bedrooms generally gets pushed back by the neighborhood based on the impact on the schools, because you're probably going to have some school-aged children living there. Do we know that if there's adequate capacity at some of the adjacent elementary and middle schools to handle this additional potential population?
So they went through the whole land use entitlement process already and have the approvals. And as part of the city's underwriting process, that is, one of the things that was vetted when they came through the Affordable Housing Fund. So there's no concerns on that end.
Okay. The other thing I'll just say is I like the ability that it seems like you have structured so that, you know, if you have the ability to get rid of the land lease in the future, you can do that. I mean, it's just going to make it would make for a cleaner, longer term situation if you don't have a land lease in place, if the property ever gets sold after the tax credits burn off. So I just wanted to say I like the flexibility that you've built into the deal.
Claude, Mary, also.
Go ahead, Commissioner Strickland.
Yeah, Matt, how much money is the University Research Park putting into the project?
They are not putting any money directly into the project. They do, and we have Matt Robles, our city attorney, also on the call here, who can answer some of these. So they're only involved really through the ground lease structure, but they're not directly investing any money into the affordable housing piece.
But they are the owner of the project?
They're the owner of the land. So Mandel Group would be the owner. Actually, their tax credit entity they will create would be the owner of the actual development piece.
Just seems like a big bill for the city to put into a project that was not, you know, bid out or competitively. I mean, there's other housing providers that I don't think have gotten this kind of money.
So on a per unit basis, this is very much in line with what we see with the other tax credit developments that come through the Affordable Housing Fund. Just usually we don't see 200 unit buildings. But it's definitely a lot of money.
Matt, could I just clarify one thing in response to one of Greg Reed's questions or comments? So my understanding is University Research Park only will ground lease the land to projects there. So I just want to clarify that the CDA, if it buys the project, so the building, will have an opportunity to extend the ground lease, but I don't, at least if University Research Park continues to operate how they have been, which I think we just kind of have to assume, this would be, they would continue to retain ownership of the land and it would be continuing to be a ground lease.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
And that's just, that's how they operate the entire University Research Park. So my understanding is every building in that park has a ground lease with University Research Park. So they're not treating us any differently. That's just how they operate the research park.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Commissioner Gray.
Thank you, Chairman. So Matt, thanks for presenting this proposal. So I'm wondering, is this, or was this part of the five-year plan which we recently had you guys kind of discuss with us?
So I will say this was not contemplated even a month ago. So I'd say where it lines up with the five-year plan is that it is providing additional affordable housing in a high quality location. But we were definitely had not contemplated scenarios where the CDA would be involved with the funding of a third party transaction. That being said, it is like things that the CDA has done in the past through its bonding authority, where we've been a pass through for money to fund affordable housing with an option to buy it in the future. So it is within your wheelhouse, but it's not something that we were thinking about even a month ago.
Yeah, I really like this idea of increasing the affordable housing option. If you go back to the next screen, Matt, there was a question I had about what TID 46 means.
Yeah, so that's our tax incremental district number 46. So that's the TIF district that the site sits within, and that would be mm-hmm. the funding source. So there's a lot of other, how it works is all of those other entities out at Research Park have in their tax, they've increased the tax base within that district. So that district actually has has a good amount of money. So it can contribute to pay for the project.
Perfect project, okay. And then if you could just help me a little bit on the land lease options here that you've broken out, how does that sequentially work?
So on the box on the right?
Yeah.
So Matt, do you want to talk through this? Like I feel like you're closer to this than I am.
Yeah, so the what would happen is Mandel would basically enter its what would happen is the Mandel Group would enter into a 49-year ground lease with University Research Park. One of the ways that the CDA in utilizing these TIF funds that it would receive from the city would be providing assistance to the project is basically buying out that ground lease for the Mandel Group. So Mandel Group would have the ground lease, then the CDA would come in and pay for the ground lease for the Mandel Group, and then the Mandel Group would assign the ground lease to the CDA. So the CDA would have all of the rights under that ground lease that it would then control, and but will also have paid for, and then will lease it back, sublease it back to the Mandel Group for $1. So the CDA, that's kind of how we're, like I said, one of the ways that we're getting, I think it's $2.4 million into this project is by paying for the ground lease and then basically subleasing it back to the Mandel Group for a dollar.
So just to jump ahead to 15 years from now, the project has worked through its, the tax credits are done. The tax credit investor goes away. The CDA would then have the right to buy the building. So you would go get appraisals to say, what is this worth? Remembering its value is going to be restricted because it's required to be affordable going forward. So although this might cost $63 million to build, it's not worth anywhere near that because the rents are pushed down so much with the restrictions that are on it. So we would land on a price. You as your board or the people who are in your chairs 15 years from now would say, do we want to buy this or not? If you say yes, then the $1,965,000 of prepayment would be subtracted from that purchase price. And we would go get a normal conventional loan to replace, to fund the rest of it. And you can go forward and you would own the building and you'd take over that ground lease going forward. And the CDA would own 200 units of high quality, affordable housing in a great location. And you could choose to keep it affordable in perpetuity. If, say, the board says, you know what? We don't want to own this. It's not part of our, not core to our mission or portfolio. In that case, you could choose to walk away. The $500,000 option payment would not be refundable, but $1.4 million would come back to you and you'd walk away. And then Mandel Group could choose to sell it, or they'd have to maintain affordability through year 40 because there's a land use restriction that we would have placed on it. So you are not bound to do anything really kind of ever. You're really sort of sitting as a pass-through for city money for the bulk of it, but then you have that option in the future to buy the asset.
I think that really helps clarify it relative to the process. And I do like the idea of securing more options for affordability and even within the breakdown of the percentages there. So this helps understand how it's structured. It makes sense to me. You got any further presentations before we proceed?
Yeah, just a walkthrough timeline. So we got the update from Finance Committee a week ago. Tonight we're asking you to take action on whether or not you want to enter into these contracts. Common Council, a resolution will be introduced to make them start moving the money tonight. We would go to the Finance Committee on Monday. And the reason it's moving quickly here is that Mandel has a deadline to WIDA related to the tax credits. They need to show that they have a way to fill their $5 million gap in order to keep moving forward on the tax credit piece. So it would get approved by Common Council. Then we would spend months working on finalizing the legal documents and getting ready for closing, which would happen in 2025. They'd roll into construction and then it would open. And again, it's not till 2031 that the CDA would really have to do anything again. And that's when you'd have the option to purchase.
That's very helpful. I think I understand the time pressure involved in this process. Are there other questions and comments from commissioners?
I got a question.
Go ahead.
So if you look at Mandel's website in Milwaukee, they work in the Midwest and their specialty is luxury apartments. I guess I'm a little concerned. I mean, I'm all for more affordable housing, but I'm concerned about how much money the city of Madison is providing Mandel for this project. It seems like given their track record, their length of time in business, they've got other ways to finance this kind of project. And it feels like, I'm just noting, I guess, that this is a large amount of money provided to a for-profit developer that specializes in luxury housing and seems to me would have some money to fill this gap without the city of Madison that just went through a budget referendum of coming up with this money.
So the project has been fully underwritten by our TIF staff and by our Affordable Housing Fund staff and CDD. And they've all come to an agreement that there is a financial gap of this $5.2 million. It cannot support any more debt, hard debt than it has already because of the income restrictions. And you know, like I said, the size of the gap on sort of a pro rata basis is very much in line with all tax credit deals that we see in the city. So yes, Mandel is not typically a tax credit developer. For that reason, they are relying on Baker Tilly for a lot of their expertise on doing the tax credit side of the development. But they have done a number of affordable components in their developments before, but they're not typically a tax credit developer.
Matt, quick question. So we're basically asking to invest about 30, in terms of TIF money, about $30,000 per unit. What would it cost if the city of Madison CDA were to embark upon this project? What would it typically cost the CDA to build on a per unit basis?
Are you asking how much the total per unit development cost would be? Or are you asking how much sort of gap money we would have to fill that couldn't be supported by the tax credits and debt?
I guess sort of both, because we're spending $30,000 to come up with, what is it, 167 units or so?
So 197 total, 167 being 60% AMI and below, I think is the, yeah.
So by only spending whatever the number is, $25,000 or $30,000 per unit, we're adding this many more units to the roster or to the supply of affordable units. Whereas if we had to embark upon this, you know, whether it's the Triangle project or other projects, we would be spending considerably more to be able to deliver the, I guess that's my basic premise.
Yeah, all of these projects, vanilla tax credit deals have a 30,000 plus per unit gap in them. When we're doing things like at the Triangle, it is much higher because we're also serving lower income individuals typically. So can't carry as much debt as this kind of project could.
Okay. One quick comment on the Mandel Group. They're very, very highly regarded in the commercial development space. They already have an existing relationship with the University Research Park. University Research Park contracted with them to come up with alternative developments aside from just tech or office space to use infill portions of the site. So they already have a presence in the University Research Park already. I think it's an excellent location for the property. And there isn't a developer out there that isn't for profit. Nobody could afford to develop any housing, whether affordable or market rate, if they didn't make a profit. So Mary, I just wanted to say that, you know, yes, their primary focus may be on luxury multifamily, which they do an excellent job of delivering that product, but every developer has to make money in order to continue developing. Otherwise they'd all go out of business. So I just want to let, I mean, I have a very high regard for them in the industry, and they have a sterling reputation.
Just want to ask one more question. Sure. How much money is Mandel, equity or debt, putting into this project? I didn't quite see them on the sources.
Yeah, so typically in tax credit developments, the developer puts in no debt or equity. The equity is the tax credit. And then the developer defers part of their fee. So in this case, Mandel is deferring, I believe, $6 million of development fee. They'll earn that, but then lend it back into the transaction, which is typical for a tax credit deal.
Okay, I just want that to be noted. Just what you said in the minutes.
Okay, are there other comments or questions? Commissioner O'Connor, you have any questions you have?
You're on mute.
I apologize.
Tag also has a question.
Yep, go ahead. Commissioner O'Connor, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I just one quick question. Is there a doing, and I apologize if I missed this, is there a plan for managing the units if they don't have experience managing subsidized units?
They do, and I can look and see if I know who their manager they're talking about is. I don't know, Lynette, do you know off the top of your head?
No, I have their app up though.
I thought I remember. I honestly, well, I'm not positive about this. I'm gonna let Matt look at what the answer really is before I just throw something out there.
Okay. Well, thanks for looking.
Yeah.
Yes, Matt. If you can't find it,
yeah, let me know. I think it is. It probably is in their application.
For the. The supportive units, I thought I remember LSS being mentioned, but I'm not.
I can't tell you. For the supportive units, they plan on partnering with Way Forward.
Oh, okay.
Was formerly Middleton Outreach, mom. Mm-hmm. And so they are engaging with Way Forward to make sure that there are supportive sites. Actually, in the application that they sent to us, they are looking at doing in-house property management. So Mandel Property Services is who they are listing. In the agreement, though, with so my unit in Community Development Division does oversight of compliance when we are financing affordable housing funds. And so we are working out an agreement where the TIF loans will start coming into our compliance unit as well, which means that property management will have to send an annual desk review and copies of leases. And this gives us the opportunity as staff to make sure that property management is correctly underwriting, engaging with residents and all of those things, and any other kind of follow-up we need to do, technical assistance with property management as well. We usually do that throughout our kind of process, is that technical assistance on offsite too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Claude, you're on mute.
Go ahead, Alder Evers.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to reinforce what Commissioner Reed had to say. Mandel from my understanding, are not only a reputable firm, they have plans to be able to do more business in Madison. And they're not, there's nothing untoward going on here. This gap that's in their capital stack is not uncommon, as we have learned. Their commitment to affordable housing in this particular location is encouraging. What I really do want to comment on, though, is that I am pleased that CDA is in a position to use our resources and our ability to fund projects like this in a way that advance our broader goals for more affordable housing in the city. I've been on this committee for a while now, and I've made the point in conversations with staff and perhaps with some of you that I really do think it's important that we leverage our resources to create more housing. This, from what I understand, involves a minimal amount of risk. We will receive funds back after we make an initial investment. And it does not seem to be an inappropriate way to use our ability, our overall resources and our experience as developers. In other words, CDA can do more than just maintain our own properties. That's just something I've been saying for a while now, that we should be more adventurous in creating permanent affordable housing, because as a public entity, we can do this and help create the possibility for this where the private market would fail on its own. So we are standing in the gap to assure that the goals of the city and that the goals of CDA can meet successfully. And so I encourage my colleagues here to vote affirmatively on this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Everest. Commissioner Gray, you had a question?
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner Ayers, as well. And I support everything that everyone have said too, as well. It just seems that, you know, it just seems like that sometimes we get these projects, we don't have any time to really figure out, like I think a question that was asked by Commissioner Connors as to who's managing the building. And, you know, I think those are all important aspects of this process that we need to have concrete information on some of these things in order, you know, to make the best decisions. I like the fact that we're dealing with a reputable group, but I also know you're investing a huge amount of money, and it's always under the guidelines of affordable housing. But I think at the same time, it's a fast, this committee is a fast-paced process. Like right now, we haven't even talked about this particular item. It wasn't in the five-year plan, and we're prepared to, you know, go all in, which, you know, as a part of the committee, I'm listening to the other commissioners, and I feel like that's just the way that we do these large-scale projects without really considering the five-year plan and all the other investments CDA has made for the other developments and the other projects that we have out there already. So, you know, I just wanted to add that for the record. I'm sure we're going to move forward with supporting this, but I do think that we're, you know, it just seems like we get these last minute proposals and we have less than 20, 30 minutes or 45 minutes to make some major decisions on these items. Thank you, Commissioner Chairman.
You appreciate it. Thanks for your comments. Any other comments at this time that we've had input? Matt Rose, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to Commissioner Gray just to maybe provide a little bit of helpful context. So, you know, obviously this has come in very quickly. On the staff side, we had to work very quickly to respond and make this happen to line up with the WEDA deadline. I think from the CDA perspective, one helpful thing to keep in mind is that 100% of the funds are coming from the TID. So CDA will not have to invest its own funds. And CDA is basically, what CDA is getting is an option to purchase the project. So the CDA will have 18 years to decide if it wants to invests its own, you know, to issue bonds or invest money to purchase the project. So I think that's just a helpful thing to keep in mind. Obviously, I totally understand the board needs to evaluate this initial involvement, and it has come together very quickly, but in terms of whether the CDA would be involved in the very long run in this project, there will be quite a bit of time to evaluate that aspect of this deal.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Donette. Also very supportive of this endeavor, and especially if we can build and increase upon the affordable options available for folks. I think that's part of our mission. So at this time, if there are no other questions, I would like to have a motion for approval and a second, if that is in order.
Chair, it looks like Alder Evers has his hand raised.
Yes, Alder Evers.
Yeah, I'll move approval of the proposal as presented by staff.
Is there a second?
I'll second approval.
Then moving and seconded that the resolution number 4635 be approved. I would consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. Hearing none, motion's approved. Thank you. Thank you all for that presentation and this information. This is really exciting at this time to sort of look forward to something that was going to be very beneficial to our community. And Matt, I really like the site there. That's a very, very great strategic location. I was wondering what was going to go there. I've been having conversations. Now I know. So that's a good thing. At this time, I think that's the only item we have on the agenda, Matt. Anything else for the good of the order?
Well,
I'll wish you all a wonderful, enjoy your time with your family and Thanksgiving, and take good care, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
Chair, can we have a motion?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm exiting out. Motion for adjournment, please.
Move to adjourn.
So move. I second.
And if you move the second, that we are in adjournment. Thank you very much. Robert Ruse will be very proud. Take care.